Let me say good afternoon to everyone. I want to thank those that have made the decision to be with us on this afternoon as we look at another portion of God's Word. Thankful for all the brothers that have gone before me and their participation in this worship service. And as was read in your hearing, we're in Acts chapter number 6. If you were with us on this morning, we looked at from 1 Timothy chapter number 3, verses 8 through 13, those qualifications for those that would be appointed or serve the congregation as deacons. So I thought with that being discussed this morning, to look at a practical example of those individuals serving. And from that, we took from verse number 3, where Luke wrote, whom we may appoint over this business. Whom we may appoint over this business. So in Acts chapter 6, that was written out here, and the Bible says, in those days, when the number of the disciples were multiplied, there arose a murmuring of the Grecians against the Hebrews because their widows were neglected in daily ministration. So we find here a situation where there were, in the view of the Grecians, a partiality, or be it a prejudice shown to those that were Hebrews when it came to the daily ministration of things. And we find that if you look back in Acts chapter 4 to set up Acts chapter 6, we find in Acts chapter 4 and verse number 32, the Bible says, or reads, and the multitude of them that believe were of one heart and of one soul. Neither said any of them that aught of the things which he possessed was his own, but they had all things common. And with great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. The Bible reads, neither were there any among them that lacked, for as many as were possessors of land or houses sold them and brought the prices of the things that were sold. Then the Bible reads in verse 35, and laid them down at the apostles' feet, and distribution were made unto every man according as he had need. So the process were to take those things that were brought and laid down at the apostles' feet, and that distribution of those things will be made to every person according as they had need. However, in Acts chapter 6, the Bible says that complaining came about. They were complaining because of what was considered an unfairness of the Grecians against those that were Hebrews, because they felt they were not being given that in a fair manner. And so the 12 apostles in verse number 2 said, the Bible reads, then the 12 called the multitude of the disciples unto them and said, it is not reason that we should leave the word of God and serve tables. So you find here a situation where when the Holy Spirit had those 12 apostles, that it would naturally take care of itself, as we will find that in the congregation, there are needs arise where members need, the sheep need shepherds. Those are elders. And also you find in this case that service need to be given to members. And you find where Paul talked in 1 Timothy about those that would be appointed as deacons to serve. And that's where you see the word serve table, from which the word deacon originates from. And so the Bible said, they said, wherefore, brethren, look out among you seven men of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom, whom we may, notice now, appoint over this business. But we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word. So you find that in the word of God, you have various areas that need to be served. And we find that in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse number 11, where Paul, in writing to those Ephesians, said in Ephesians 4:11, and he gave some. First you had the apostles. Then you had, I said, some prophets, and then and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers. So in order for the church to reach its full capacity, you need various areas of leadership. Now, we no longer have apostles today, nor do we have prophets today, but we do have those that are evangelists, those that preach publicly the word of God, and the desire to have those that are pastors. And the Bible tells us the threefold purpose. It is for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, and for the edifying of the body, of building up of the body of Christ. So that's when the Lord's church is fully organized, then all of those areas will be covered and taken care of, when those men that the Lord Paul, we've been speaking about, that Paul shared with Timothy in Ephesus about, that you find those men that meet the qualifications and they serve as elders, those men that you may appoint as deacons. And so the Bible says, and the same pleased the whole multitude. And notice now, and they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and of the Holy Ghost, and Philip, and of Prochorus, and Nicanor, and Timon, and Parmenius, and Nicholas, a proselyte of Antioch. And so you find that the multitude, they chose those individuals. And the Bible says that at that time, the apostles, would appoint those men over that business. And so we find here that these men engaged in ministering to the physical needs of the people. That's what we said this morning. When you look at a servant, it's one who serves others, and that person is a servant of the church. And we find that not only were these men served in those capacities, but we find that that's not where you are limited to. You can do multiple things in the Lord's kingdom. So we find that as we look at these men that were the seven that were identified, and the Bible says, whom they set before the apostles, and when they had prayed, they laid their hands on them. The Bible says, and the word of God increased, and the numbers of the disciples multiplied in Jerusalem greatly, and a great company of priests were obedient to the faith. And then the Bible mentions about Stephen, who was full of the faith and power, and did great wonders and miracles among the people after having the hands laid on him by those apostles. So we see the work that Stephen did, and Stephen even preached the word of God to those, to the point that in Acts chapter 7, where they became angry with him when he told them in Acts chapter 7 and verse 51, he called them, he said, "You stiff-necked and uncircumcised and hard in ears, you do always resist the Holy Ghost as your father did, so do ye." So we find here that not only Stephen was one that was selected by the church. And that's why we talked about this morning about how though one may serve in one capacity, we still want to be knowledgeable of the word of God, as Paul said in 1 Timothy, that they hold, that those individuals would, he said in verse 1 Timothy 3:9, holding the mystery of the faith in a pure conscience, they would know the word of God, that they could not only, as I'm serving, I can also teach individuals that they can obey the Lord. We want to develop ourselves, all of us, that we can try to grow to a level that we can simply teach an individual what I did to be saved. And so we find Stephen teaching the word of preaching the word of God, as he was also one that worked in the serving of those Grecians and the Hebrews, now that there would not be any partiality nor prejudice, but according to what was written, that we find written the word of God, that they would be able to give to everyone as they had need. So that's what we talk about when we talk about those that are deacons, those that are over the business of serving in the Lord's church and caring for those that are in need. But as I close on this afternoon, want to look specifically at one of them, Philip himself, as we extend an invitation to those that are maybe listening and you're not a Christian. We want you to become a Christian. Well, we have an example in the Bible of one of those that were identified to serve the tables. Philip also preached the word of God. And so in Acts chapter number 8, and the beginning at verse number 26, we find that Peter had previously in Acts 8 and 5, the Bible says, "Then Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ unto them." So we find that not only Philip served those tables, but he also exercised his ability to preach the word of God. And then we find, if you're listening on the call tonight and you're not a Christian, how does one become a Christian? Well, we have a case study in Acts, beginning at Acts chapter 8 and verse number 26. The Bible says, "And the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, Arise, and go toward the south unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is desert." The Bible said he arose and went. "Behold, a man of Ethiopia, a eunuch of great authority under Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who had the charge of all her treasure, had come to Jerusalem for to worship." So you have a situation where the angel of the Lord spoke to Philip. He told him to go down the way unto Gaza, where there was a desert. And when he went there, he found a man that was over Candace, the queen of Ethiopia's treasure. And this man was returning from worship. The Bible says he was returning and sitting in his chariot, read Isaiah the prophet. The Bible says, "Then the Holy Spirit said unto Philip, Go near and join thyself to the chariot. And Philip ran thither to him and heard him read the prophet Isaiah, and said, Understandest thou what thou readest?" Sometimes when we teach individuals, we can ask them, Do you understand what you are reading? And if a person is honest, as was the eunuch, in this case, the Bible says, he said, how can I except some man guide me? In other words, the word guide means to show me the way. How can I unless somebody show me? The Bible says he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. So this man, when you find an individual that's honest and say, I am not a fully knowledgeable of the word of God, however, I have a desire that you would teach me the word of God. The Bible says the place of the scripture which he read was this. He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and like a lamb dumb before his shearers, so opened he not his mouth. And in his humiliation, his judgment was taken away, and who shall declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth. And that life that was taken was none other than Christ himself. We said this morning how Christ gave his life a ransom for all of us. And the eunuch in verse 34 answered or asked Philip and said, I pray thee, of whom speaketh the prophet this, of himself or of some other man? So he asked Philip, is Isaiah speaking about himself or is he talking about some other man? The Bible says, then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture, and he preached unto him Jesus. When you preach Jesus and you're preaching the gospel, you're going to preach three facts about Jesus. You're going to preach how Christ died, Jesus died for our sins. He was buried in a tomb, and he rose again the third day, never to die again. But we also find in the text in what is referred to as a necessary inference, where you can infer something or conclude something from what is found in the Bible. The Bible says in verse 36, and as they went on their way, they came unto a certain water, and the eunuch said, see, here is water. What doeth hinder me to be baptized? And as I did this morning, when you preach Jesus, you must preach baptism to those that are outside of Christ. And so he shared with him about being baptized because the eunuch made the statement, here is water. You spoke to me about being baptized. Here is water. What is it that stops me from being baptized? And Philip said to him, if thou believest with all thy heart, thou mayest. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Having been taught about Jesus, he then makes the statement that we also ask, is a person make the statement of what they believe in their heart. And he said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. So we find that in a person being converted to Christ, becoming a Christian, becoming a member of the Church of Christ, being added to the Lord's church, we find that one must hear the gospel, and that's verse 35, then one must believe the gospel. Now, what you're not seeing in that in this text is where the eunuch is asked to repent. But we also know in Acts chapter 2, and the verse is number 38, when Peter preached the gospel message. In verse 38, the Bible says, and Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sin. And so we find that repentance is a part of one's conversion. So you hear the gospel, you believe the gospel, you repent of your sins. We find in this text where he confessed what he believed, that Jesus Christ, the Son of God, and the Bible says in verse 38, and he commanded the chariot to stand still, and they went down both into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. So one is not converted until one is water baptized. And as I just read in Acts 2:38, the purpose of baptism is for the forgiveness of all the sins that you've previously done in your life. By faith, the blood of Christ, Revelation 1, 5, and 6, the blood of Christ by faith is in the water. It is the blood of Christ that cleanses you of all your sin in baptism. And the Bible says that when they will come up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught away Philip, that the eunuch saw him no more, and he went on his way rejoicing. Why? He had rejoiced because now he was a member of the Church of Christ, Romans chapter 16 and verse number 16. And so if you are subject to the invitation, we encourage you to get with the person that invited you on the call, that they can contact us so we can make sure that you are water baptized for the forgiveness of your sins, and that the Lord will add you to the Church of Christ, the only church you can read about in the Bible. I thank you on this afternoon for your listening ear. I now turn you back over to our song leader to extend the invitation. Thank you very much.